Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Aussie Rugby Show in podcast form. If you're new to the setup, you can stay on top of and be a part of what's happening with the show simply by following Rugby Pass and the Aussie Rugby Show on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And bit of a language warning in this week's episode. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Aussie Rugby Show, brought to you by Extra Hub. Stops breaches 84% faster. Drew Mitchell, Stephen Hoyle, Sean Maloney. We have picked a beautiful spot for this week's show.
Does it get any better? The Manly Beach at twilight. We're at the home, the unofficial home of the Manly Sabres Club, who play in the Meldrum Cup and are flying at the moment. Finished the season unbeaten. They've got finals this week. Great club, great people as well. Benny Bangers, Wooten,
it's
Fridge,
a Northern Beaches
Guru,
club
Steak,
that you haven't played
Freddie
for.
Latu, Jimsy, man, I could go on night. It's probably the only club I haven't played for on the Northern Beaches, but great club, go the Sabres.
I didn't play for the Manly Sabres rugby team, but growing up, I was actually a Manly Nipper here.
Were you?
Yeah, here
you?
The little blue cap. Yeah, I was a little Manly Nipper. Father was working up at North Head, the artillery.
Yeah.
For a couple of years.
You would have been a sand specialist.
Look, I was all over the flags, all over the beach sprints, but didn't do anything in the water because I was terrified of it. I was like, nah. Not
blue bottles,
there,
so dramas.
Blue bottles, waves.
Wow, is a sprinter.
Also, Michael Hooper learned to run quick on this same beach. Yeah. Look at that. I did not know that.
Yeah.
What a story, Hansel.
Bit of a fast switch beach out here, eh?
Yeah.
Let's get to what got you from over the weekend. I'm going to start. Tupu Va'ai, his All Blacks announcement and the beautiful announcement he had to his family and the reaction that they had got me thinking. I wanted to know what that was like for you guys when you knew you were going to be a Wallaby.
Look, you don't get to choose what you're doing at the time that you get the call. And for me, it was in 2004. I didn't think it was likely, to be honest. And I just finished playing for University of Queensland, the Red Heavies in first grade. And I was actually dressed as Austin Powers on a Mad Monday. And I got this phone call and I didn't know like the number. Obviously it was Eddie Jones, and I had to take my fake teeth out so I could speak to him. And I was like, you know, I was hell-bent that day going, yeah, baby, do I make you horny? Imagine if I said that to Eddie, because thinking, you know, like, you just weren't expecting the call. But he said, oh, look, you know, Drew, it's Eddie Jones, mate. You've made the tour squad. Like, you're going to go. You're part of the Wallaby squad. And I'm like, and then, of course, he then says, but it's not going to get announced until Wednesday, so keep it to yourself. Don't tell anyone. I was like, can I tell my parents? He's like, yes, you can tell your parents, mate, but don't tell anyone else. I'm like, all right, great. But then I just sort of put my teeth back in and went back into this first grade. And I go, well, because some people were sort of saying you're going to get the call, whatever. And they were like,
you kind of had a half idea,
like,
don't you?
No, it wasn't the call. Straight back on.
That's the worst part about it. I was the exact same day as you because it was the same tour. It was September 20, 2004. It was my girlfriend's 21st.
Wow. She just like his wedding day. Yeah. Happy anniversary.
But the best and worst part of it is that you feel as though you kind of got told that you're a chance, so you're a nervous wreck. Every time your phone rings, if it's a private number, your heart jumps a beat. And again, getting told that you couldn't tell anyone, I almost didn't really get to savor the moment because I was paranoid about people finding out. Of course, told mum and dad and the girlfriend at the time, which is now my wife, but I then couldn't tell anyone else. But that next night, something came out in the paper the day before it got announced, and I remember just being so nervous that I didn't want to be this leak that announced that I was in the Wallaby squad.
But there's probably more chance that I was going to tell someone that than you were.
Yeah, but your Mad Monday was the week before. You were still dressed as Austin Powers. You were a week late. That was what was.
I reckon it was Alan Hoyles who leaked you. getting you square. Old Al.
He owes me a few.
What got me was the North versus South game across the Dutch. And a great showpiece and two teams that were stacked with depth, both experienced but also up and coming, obviously, with the All Black announcement sort of indicated that. But the way it finished, look, I was going for the North, King of the North, you know, all that sort of stuff. And I must admit, I don't know why, I had to duck out and I left 5 minutes before the end.
Thought it was done.
I thought, we're done, we're home.
Yeah.
And then I get on the socials later and all these guys in white jerseys are celebrating. I was like, what's going on here? So, yeah, another epic finish. But I made sure I went back and watched it, but so just two great teams.
Good concept. I wonder if they'll try and fit that into the calendar next year.
Yeah.
I think they should. It's just a showpiece that people just want to see, you know, two teams that encapsulate the entire country, so you can get around one team or the other. And
I think if they don't go with an Australian New Zealand Super Rugby, they'll definitely be able to fit that in. If they do, who knows? What got me, I felt a little bit for Gordon on the weekend. They did beat Randwick and they remain Shoot Shield favourites by a country mile. They lost two tight head props though, which is always tough. So one snapped his Achilles, the replacement came on last play of the game, he did his ACL. So two tough injuries.
Might see him in hospital tomorrow.
Are you getting the operation?
Getting a little clean out,
From the kids' clinic.
That's what happens for doing, giving back to the classic Wallabies. Kids' clinic, operation. How good.
Okay, Super Rugby, rocks and diamonds. What you liked, what you didn't like from across the weekend. Stephen Hoyles, you go first.
I've only really got diamonds this weekend, Lou. Like, I don't think it was anything too bad. I watched a variety of footy. You got the North-South game. You saw club rugby in Sydney, Brisbane, Canberra. I thought the Super Rugby was a pretty good finish. Like, the Rebels needed to win by four. Thought they probably should have won by more. They just made it. Would have been nice to see the Force get a win. I thought they probably deserved it. But I thought all up, it was a good weekend of footy. No rocks for me, Luke.
Yeah, I think for me, in some ways the same. The diamond being that the Rebels did enough to get through. They knew they had to win by four to push through to this week's playoffs. But again, they probably should have done it easier than they did.
Oh, but leave him alone, Drew.
No, mate, I'm all in on the Rebels. I'm actually wearing my Rebels Curry Club shirt presented by Billy Meeks and
Melbourne
All Boys. When I went down there to Melbourne. So I'm all in on the Rebels. Okay. You're not, mate. You're not. As far as you're concerned, you're coming out the back end of our curry night, mate. We just don't want anything to do with you. But
Was there a good catchphrase from that night? Second to none.
Second to none. Yeah. Second to none. Yeah. I was Nanya West. No. I stole that from one of the boys. I can't remember who it was, but one of the boys. They all had their little Curry Club nicknames, but I just thought sometimes you can get a little bit carried away with just.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Knowing how much you need to win by and just concentrating on that rather than going out there and doing the process. Look, it wasn't pretty, but they got the job done. And we've seen the Rebels too often in the last few years put themselves in a position to go on to the playoffs and fail. So it was nice to see them go through and they'll be playing against the Reds this weekend.
I reckon the Reds now are the favourites.
Oh, they look good.
Super Rugby. They were my diamond. Do you know what?
Yeah.
That was a fantastic game of footy.
Yeah.
Reds Brumbies game. High quality. Much ball in play. Great endeavour. No one slowing it down, not too much aimless kicking. It was good fun.
Here's a question for you, though.
I really enjoyed that
Reds
game.
They're saying maybe 25,000 there this weekend if they get that. Do you think that's great for the Reds? Obviously, the Rebels have been away for 12 weeks. Do you think that's a bit of pressure that the Reds players? It's a big challenge for them to see how they handle this. They're a young side.
I think they'll ride it.
Yeah, but at the moment, they're getting all these pats on the back. Will they be able to cover it?
Yeah, okay. I see where you're coming from.
I think that's probably something that Brad Thorn would be pretty, he'll be on top of that, just making sure that they're not listening to the pundits, they're not listening to the press and all the backstabbers around, because that's what happens when you start going well, all of a sudden you get more texts on your phone after a game, more people reaching out and more people turning up to your games.
More ticket requests from friends and family.
Exactly right, So I think he'd be pretty focused on making sure the guys remain focused on their job rather than all this other peripheral stuff.
Well, my diamond sort of runs off the back of that. Jock Campbell from the Reds.
Jock Campbell.
He is, yes, Jock Campbell. Shock. That's what you named him. He's going so well. But made me think about, we're talking about pathways in Australian rugby and how we want to see more of the clear pathways sort of coming through. We covered NRC back in the day. We're up in Townsville. Jock Campbell playing for Queensland Country.
2018, I reckon that was. 2017, 2018.
Yeah.
2018. Or another game you're talking
about. And he just had a cracking game. I interviewed him at the time. I thought, you know what? This is a nice kid. This is a nice guy. And just, it's great to see him doing really well in this young Reds team. And the play was so creative on the weekend at different times. Really nice to watch.
He's gone to his preferred position of 15 as well. And it's really hard as a young guy when you're new to a Super Rugby side. You probably came through as a 15, but you spent the majority of time on the wing. So a lot of people just assume that you're a winger. You need a lucky break for that position to open up. And he's done really well since he's been put in that number 15 jersey.
I also think the back three at the Reds have got a nice sort of balance. They've got Dunguna, who's just like, he's lightning, but he's got great footwork. He's, you know, and he goes looking for it. Faraway Sortier on the other edge. He's like one of those more sort of powerful blockbusting wingers that does, you know, like he just does damage. And then you've got Jock Campbell, who's a bit more measured, sees things really well. His decision-making's really good. His kicking's really good. So I think they've got a nice little mix.
Such a good point you make. Actually, that's such a good point you make too, Lou, as well. Because if there was one team that didn't take the piss through NRC, it was Queensland.
Yes, and Brad Thorne.
Yeah, Brad Thorne was the coach.
And Brisbane City.
Now all these years on, he's getting that collect because they've got that synergy of players, those young guys.
He's got a bit of...
Think about that.
It's a big rap and he's not there yet, but he's got a bit of Damon McKenzie about him. He's got a ball-playing ability and that's where you saw the difference. Because of his size, he's had to find a way to create opportunities and he does it through his brain and his skill rather than his size.
It's a really interesting point just about the Brad Thorne sort of Queensland Country into Reds stuff. You're talking about Taniela Tupou was
There's
in
heaps.
That side. There's
Life,
so many.
Hawkins before he left. The heaps of them.
I know.
You saw the side that did take it seriously. It was Queensland.
Fiji.
And it was the Vikings through Canberra. So you saw it develop into the Brumbies footy over the last couple of years and you saw Queensland develop. It's actually been the Sydney sides because they've spread themselves too thin.
Sydney and Melbourne.
And 3-2. Yeah, Perth, of course, all the sides that could focus on a couple of sides did well, whereas it didn't benefit the Waratahs one bit because they spread them out too far.
Yeah, it's so true. Well, the big stories from the week, we've got to talk about the story with the Western Force potentially leaving Australian rugby and going to play in Super Rugby Aotearoa. I guess considering the Force's history, Hoylesy, do they have a right to look at these options and potentially turn their back?
Oh, I think they've got the right to do it. They need to do what's best for Western Force rugby. I don't think it'll end up with them playing in the New Zealand competition without any other Australian
sides. I
will
walk backwards. From Sydney to Perth naked, if the Western Force front up in Super Rugby Aotearoa. So there's something that...
Without any other Aussie teams.
Without any other Aussie teams.
I really hope for a lot of people's sake that doesn't happen. So I can't see it happening. Part of me thinks it's a bit of gamesmanship by the Force in terms of just trying to field a couple of offers. We all have said we'd like to see them back in the Australian competition. We just don't know what that competition looks like at the moment. So it's probably their right to go and see what their other options are.
Yeah, of course they've got every right to explore other options, but at the same time, they're asking and expecting Rugby Australia to do what's best for Western Force and the Western Australian rugby at the moment, but then at the same time they're saying, we're not going to do what's best by Australian rugby, we're going to do what's best for us, you know? So you kind of can't have your cake and eat it as well. Like, if you want to be in Australian rugby and you want them to do the best by you, then it's got to
be
reciprocated,
but they didn't do the best by them a couple of years ago.
But at that point, like, there might not be a Rugby Australia at this point if they had to keep going and keep having to fund Western Force rugby and fund Melbourne rugby at the same time. So, I mean, the thing about it, it's a bigger picture. And at the time, the bigger picture was Rugby Australia. Mm. And unfortunately for Western Force, they weren't able to be involved in that. And I just think they still got their nose out of joint a little bit. And they're just more sort of saying, you know, like putting these sort of, I don't know, almost stoking the fire a little bit. I can't see
there's
them
no guarantees.
Like,
the time zone really challenged the New Zealand.
They're 0-8 here in our comp. Like, they'd be 0-18 over there. Like, it's just not going
to
happen.
No matter what competition they go to, they've got to work hard to get some good quality Australians back in their side. There's a fair few overseas, but they've got to do that soon because if they go another season like they did, it was gallant what they did. They were late to prepare, but they lost every game. They got close on a couple, but they need to be better next year.
I think knowing what next year looks like, having a bit more time, they've just signed Tom Robertson from the Waratahs. So this year, I guess calling it as it is, they didn't have a huge amount of time to put a team together. They did put a team together given the short period of time they had. They need to know sooner rather than later so they can start you know, like shopping around and seeing who's available, because they need to put out a better team than what they did this year.
Back to your time zone situation, they would potentially base themselves over there.
Yeah, again, that's they'd hub really over there,
which is a massive ask.
Yeah, you've just asked them to be away from Perth.
No, you're really like a Western force, you know, like if you're just always willing to just be hubbed somewhere around the world just to play footy.
I hope they stay. I hope COVID goes out the back door.
I've not got
my date set. And I hope we get a situation where we get fans back to Perth and they're playing meaningful, not to take anything away from Rapid Rugby, but more meaningful games, more spite-filled games against the Waratahs in front of big crowds over there.
Because
they're
really
great rugby people.
I really do feel for you in this COVID thing. Like, you've lost your platinum status with Qantas. Like, that's been a real bugbear. You spent so 5 years chasing that and you've lost it. Like,
surely that's frozen for you.
I hope it's frozen.
He will make some complaints.
You need those frozen Perth showers. Did I ever talk about that time Knee Boy collapsed in the shower in the Perth lounge?
Tried to do the overnight, didn't
it? Legit. Yeah. You tried to do the full overnight, collapsed in the shower in the Perth lounge. Knee Boy.
Classic Knee Boy.
Not for the faint-hearted. Last week we talked about the idea of South Africa going up to play in the Eight Nations tournament.
Where are they this week, Luke?
Well, that's apparently they're back with us now.
Are they?
Yeah, I know. It was damn reports. Yeah. But no, so now that's not happening. South Africa will come back here. Georgia are going to play in the Eight Nations. Yep. That's this week's news. So that's great for Georgia. We spoke about them a little bit last week.
They've been wanting to get into the Six Nations for years, and they've almost even, you know, they've suggested let's have a playoff. Whoever comes last in the Six Nations plays off against the winner of the second tier Six Nations, because Georgia have won that, you know, like in a canter for years now.
Well, that was the big push with the World Rugby, the top 10, was that teams like Georgia were going to force an Italy or perhaps a Scotland out of the top 10.
I just know, like, Mamuka Gogodzi, he was, like, chomping it. Like, he'll come out of retirement, honestly.
You think? Yeah.
Well, I mean, he'd be wanting to. I don't know what sort of shape he's in, but he was always wanting the opportunity to go up there, because I know there was also some chat from the Sergio Parises, who was, you know, captain of Italy at the time, saying, no, like, you know, like, sort of almost scoffing at it, because he knew there was probably a chance if there was a game that Georgia would really sort of step up for it. So it's almost like, let's not give them the opportunity in case, you know, in case it blows up in our face. But now I think if Georgia starts getting exposure to these types of teams more regularly, they'll show that they wouldn't be out of place. You know, like if they go through this one and end up on top of Italy, then, you know, like, it's almost like there's the argument.
Yeah. A huge amount of them, mainly in their forwards, are playing in top tier comps throughout UK and Europe as well. So now you just need to get those 9, 10, 15 regularly.
In France, there's 30 registered professional props, Georgian props, in the top 14. Oh, sorry, not just the top 14, in the French competitions, so Pro de Deux and Federal One. The same amount of Fijian wingers, right? Yeah. So there's an indication of, you know, what, you know, like, Georgia are known for their set piece, their scrum. Mm. Like, they'll get parity or if not dominance against some of these, you know, better tier one nations, but it's when it goes to their backs and they just, you know, they can't control it necessarily, and that's where they sort of, you know, they sort of whimper a little bit. But you're giving me that exposure. Oh, Georgia, Levan, our boy.
So that's what's happening in the Eight Nations. And now we sort of wait to see how the Rugby Championship unfolds, if South Africa do indeed come down here. We don't know what Argentina are doing at this point. Kind of looks unlikely that they might head out here.
I
know, so many COVID issues. So the talk now is Japan could replace Argentina. And we talk about time zones and how great Japanese rugby is from the Australian sort of point of view and Australasian point of view to get involved. And they did so well at the World Cup last year. I think it'd be a great decision.
Regardless of what happens with South Africa and Argentina, this is probably a year to try and consider some flexibility to get them in, because we know that a lot of the Australians are going back up to Japan to start training in pre-season. So,
well, they all went last week.
So they're back training. They're back ready to go. Yeah, I'd love to see them in.
We spoke about it last week, this COVID thing. You know, like, it's, whilst it's not been great for a lot of things, one thing it has been good for is for us to start to, I guess, open our minds a little bit in the traditional ways that we played our competitions or our games, and sort of start be open to other ways around it. You know, like the eight nations. Mm. Perhaps having Japan in the rugby championship instead of Argentina. But just start to open our minds a little bit rather than being so stuck in our ways and having that sort of old rugby traditions. It's got to be like this, like always be like this until the day's done. So I kind of like that COVID started to do that a little bit.
It's accelerated the change that probably we might have seen in 5 years' time, whereas now we're maybe going to see it in this year or going into next year.
You'd rather see five teams in the rugby championships play each other twice than four teams play each other three times. You know? And we're not getting bored of the rugby championships, but because it's evolved over time. But at the same time, we have room for change, and now's the right time to do it.
Yeah.
gone but not forgotten, where we remember some of our favourite rugby players for their efforts both on and off the field. Sean Maloney, who we got?
Owen Mellon Finnegan this week, the world's biggest head, delivered one of the most iconic moments in rugby history for me when he scored that World Cup ceiling try off the back of Greece. Go for the line, man. But you guys know him a little better than I do.
Well, just after he won the World Cup in 99, so his wife is Pat Phibbs' sister, so he's about maybe 10 years older than us, so we grew up like thinking how good this Owen Finnegan, like he went to our school, he played for Randwick. We just finished our HSC and he came and had a beer with us at the pub as soon as we finished. Like it was a week after he won the World Cup final. I reckon he just landed.
Yeah.
And he came, it was just unreal at the time. But then I got to play with him, but then at Randwick, of course, and a couple of years after I got to play against him. I was never really looking forward to playing against him. You love playing with him because you saw what he used to do and say, but he had a highly intelligent game. Like he was a guy that, you know, got nabbed for a lot of penalties but got away with far more. But he was such a big body. I remember one time running from a line out, it was Brumbies versus Waratahs. It was my first game against the Brumbies. I just tripped him from, I might have even reached over to trip him to make sure I got him. And I heard Bill Young and Jeremy Paul, his teammates, like laughing at him going, "Oh, Owen, mate, you got ya." And I could just hear, "I'm gonna fucking get you, Halsey." And I kind of had me worried. And the next line out, I remember, I think he tackled someone, got him to the ground. And it was almost like he'd spent the next 5 minutes just trying to find me. And sure enough, it was when you could tap dance on someone. Yeah. And he got me. And as he's like jumping all over me, he's going, "I told you I was going to get you, Halsey." I had marks all over me, but I knew it was coming. And he was honestly, as a kid, he was probably one of my favourite players at Randwick.
I mean, he's one of the Wallaby greats. I never actually got to play with Owen, except, 2018 or
17 or 18?
When the Barbarians played against the Wallabies, but just going into that game, the Barbarians were playing a classic Wallaby game up at sort of
Lismore. It was Lismore, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Lismore. But the night before we went into camp, I commentated the Australian-New Zealand game, in the panel stuff. But then the next morning I had to get the first flight down to Melbourne to do an NRC game and then come back, right? So all my... I hadn't slept.
Because it was a big... Wallabies won.
Wallabies won. Like, it was, they wore the Indigenous jersey. Like, it was a great night. I had a big night. Put all my suitcase on, you know, the boys, the truck to go down to Lismore. And I went down to Melbourne, did that game, went back up. And I finally got back to... We flew into Ballina and we're going past the Byron Bay Hotel and they said, "Guys, we've been kicked out. Meet us back at the..." It wasn't even a hotel. It was like, you know, a school camp. She got like A-frames and shit like that. And so I'm just like so exhausted. I don't know half the people in our team. There's some young guys, but also some classics and stuff. Owen Finnegan was the coach, right?
You had to walk, remember, about 2K from where the cab dropped you off.
Yeah, from the cab dropped us off. And I walk around and I like there's like this like spotlight sort of grassed area and a couple of boys on the balcony. And I'm getting close and I don't have great eyes, right? And so I'm getting close and I'm like, there's literally like someone's laundry all over like this grassed area, in garden beds, in trees, on these like young players. Like they were wearing my stuff. I didn't even like, you know, like, I had gifts for my nieces and stuff. It like it was everywhere, right? My suitcase. It was my laundry. Owen Finnegan upturned my suitcase and just said, "Get into it, boys."
Owen thought it was a good idea for everyone to put a piece of Drew's clothing on, and I sensed this hours earlier that Drew was not in the mood for this. Like it'd been a long 2 days. Now I'm actually rummaging around trying to get all of his stuff out of different bushes. And he doesn't have good eyesight, but I have good eyesight. And I could see his eyes, and he was filthy. Mate. But Owen was in no mood to negotiate any type of issue. He thought it was the funniest thing he'd ever seen.
Yeah, and I just sort of went and grabbed my shit, and I was pulling off people's heads, and just like going around grabbing it, and I was putting on my thing. I was sort of fucking calling it for a night, and just went in, and I was steaming, mate. Like, I was sitting there going to bed, just blowing up. And then
you hadn't played in 2 years as well.
Played. I was the captain of that team, so I went in the next morning, and I said, "Look, I've got to say something before we start." I said, "Look, we're all here for fucking nothing, like, off our own bats. No one's getting paid nothing. Like, we've got to have a level of respect for each other, right? Like, because that's bullshit." I had a fucking shit night, and I come in, and our coach, like our fucking coach, had upturned my suitcase. And he goes, "Yeah, sorry, mate. Thought it was funny." I went, "What part of that was funny, mate?" Like, because obviously I'm still seething about it. I was like, "What part of that was funny?" Like,
but you know what? To be fair, it was a coaching masterstroke because Drew was angry for 2 days straight.
Yeah.
And he went out and played one of the best. He hadn't played for 18 months, but played one of the best games I've seen him play, putting shots on Taniela Tupou. Like, he was really fired up. That classic Wallabies bunch of old guys, retired players, and half a dozen young kids almost beat the Barbarians, which is full of Taniela Tupou, Jack Maddox.
Yeah.
It was,
yeah.
Then we lost by a try in the end.
Yeah, anyway, I got some really fun, and then some testing moments from Owen, but I mean, did some great things in the gold jersey, but also doing some great things now after
kids cancer.
The
funny thing is, I think every single person that played with him, and even doing post-match afternoon speeches with him, they'd have a similar story of Owen being silly Owen.
And see, the thing is, I had no context before it, so I didn't know that that's just Owen, right? Yes. And I was just fuming. If you weren't so big, I'd have my first fight right now. But anyway, Owen.
Let's dive into the Aussie Rugby Show mailbag brought to you by Extra Hop.
Yeah, Extra Hop stops breaches 84% faster. Check them out at extrahop.com. This week, speaking about faster, that's the perfect segue into this week's first question on the mailbag front. Drew, it's landed via my WhatsApps from a guy that Hoyles and I know very well. It is Carlin Isles, all the way from the USA. Here we go. Carlin Isles for you, Mr. Mitch.
Hey guys, this question is for Drew. Apart from me, who are the two fastest guys you've ever seen on the field?
What about that? Good. So apart from me.
Yeah. Well, who's quicker than Carlin?
Well, Perry Baker. No, I'm joking.
You better apologize.
I'm joking. Right now. Come on, that was a little just a cheap one. You know what? I think a young Brian Abana was quick. He was express. I think towards the back end, I mean, I had him covered at Toulon, but he was on one knee by that point. He also was a bit bigger up top. He was carrying a bit more bulk. But he, like when I first started playing against him, he was absolutely express. And then I think another one for a different reason, I think more rugby quick would be Shane Williams.
Yeah.
Small guy, really quick turnover of his feet. But I don't know, I think because he didn't have such the long stride, he could just change his direction, like on a 10 P piece. You see what I did there?
I like
10 P. But yeah, I always had trouble against him in terms of that acceleration he had. He had like rugby quick, whereas Brian Abana and, you know, these other guys have got top end flight, which unfortunately I saw too often as well.
Who was the quickest Wallaby that you guys had very quickly?
I think Lottie in his early days probably was. Oh, Clyde Rathbone probably had the
out now.
He had the power off the start.
And then he got riddled with injuries. So I think forward wise, the fastest I would have come across is probably Hoops.
But,
Speechman down here with Drew. And another forwards who had a bit of pace, surprisingly, Huey Edmonds had good pace. He could hit high 9 metres per second, which was really quick for a guy who was in horrendous condition.
He could run.
I miss Carlin too. Yeah. I miss you, Carlin. Thanks for the shout, buddy.
That was nice.
He's a champion. Yeah. Carlin's a champion. I love when he goes, woo! He loves it. Score a try, go, woo! He loves it. Next.
So good. Some questions from Twitter from Luke Barrow first up. What does the panel think of a knockout club tournament a la FFA Cup style involving sides from every state and territory?
I really like the concept. Just got to be careful in rugby with what levels you play other teams at. Mm. In soccer, you can do it, but you've always got the safety of a scrum and whatnot. So if you, for example, put a first grade side up against the first grade Illawarra or subbies.
Or a Camwell Cup team.
You run the risk of guys not being prepared. But you could play them off in their own divisions and the best push through.
Yeah.
But I love the way they're thinking. Something like that would be awesome.
Something like a sevens would be better to that?
Absolutely, easily. Yeah. Yep, you could easily do that. I think it could work, even a 15s format could work.
Mm.
It was between first grade sides only. I have to say, unfortunately, subbies and all different divisions wouldn't be able to compete against first grade.
Okay, next one from Joshua Smith, also on Twitter. What would need to change to bring back or retain our best players in Australian rugby?
I just don't think we're going to get it. I just don't think we've got to. I think we've got to get past that mindset. I think if you look at it, we've spoken about it before. You look at the A League and the Socceroos. They pick. They're a team that's got a complete national setup here with 8 or 9 teams.
Yeah.
And they still pick from anywhere around the world. It's a global game, so you've got to allow people to chase opportunities and also seek, like, better their professional development by playing elsewhere as well. And I think we've got to get to that point where, like, we've got 4 teams, 5 teams professional here in Australia. There are great opportunities, not just for the top tier players, but for the young ones coming through. And if they're still available and they're playing their best and they're still Australian eligible, then we should be able to pick them. Yeah. And I know it'll cut us a little bit at the knees in terms of our domestic competition, but I think overall it'll just start. Like, we talk about depth, we've got great depth. It's just not all here in Australia. We've got to start getting past. We've got to take the blinkers off, thinking everything should just be Australian focused, because we've got so many great Australian players. Some that are starting their career, some that are finishing their career, and some in between, but they're playing overseas. And I just think we've got to take the blinkers off a little bit and sort of broaden our horizons to allowing them to play.
One of the fears with initially all these players going overseas is that they won't stay in shape, you won't be able to see what sort of physical condition they're in.
Yeah.
That's kind of changed in the last 5 years. Most sides have got their act together overseas. All the UK sides do, all the Japanese sides do. They've all got great facilities and strength and conditioners. If we want to keep the best here, I think the only way we can do it is by having less teams and more money per squad. So instead of having a salary cap for $5 million or $6 million for 4 or 5 teams, you make the salary cap $7, $8, or $9 million, which is on par with what a rugby league salary cap is, to get all those Will Skeltons, Rory Arnold. So you actually go, you know what? They're not going for money. They might choose to go for another reason, but money's not one of them.
Yeah.
Interesting. Weekend forecast. We're going to focus on the Super Rugby AU semi-final this weekend. Reds hosting the Rebels up at Suncorp Stadium.
What do you think?
I reckon Reds. Yeah. I reckon the Reds are favourites now.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. I do. I think Reds are favourites.
For the whole tournament?
For the whole thing, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, right.
Well, they went close to the Brumbies in that. We'll touch more on it next week because I think they'll get through this week. But I think Reds, yeah.
Yeah, I can see why you say that. I also think the Brumbies kind of went in there last week knowing what a player would be like, essentially playing for nothing. I just don't want to get injured. I've got a final to play.
They probably would have kept
test
some
season
back.
Half plays. Yeah. Yeah, they would have pulled a few tricks out of the playbook. I don't see the Rebels.
I mean, you're not picking the Rebels, so...
I'm not going to pick the Rebels. Well, they beat the Force by 4 points and they're down to 14 men for the last 20 minutes. I'm definitely going to go Reds and then I'll probably reassess, but I do think the Brums the following week.
Yeah, I think the Reds will beat the Rebels. I just hope it's a good contest. I think the Rebels, like we've mentioned a couple of times, they weren't at their best on the weekend, but they did enough to get through. Maybe the playoffs is where they play their best footy. Like we haven't seen it yet. They might just find a leg and just
remember
go, you know,
8 years ago when they had that draw at Brookvale Oval, which was actually like 6 weeks ago, but I'm saying like it was like 8 years ago because it feels that long ago.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Because of the COVID. Yeah. It was actually like six weeks ago.
I said, yeah.
At Brookvale Oval.
Man of the match, who should pick for that game?
I like that. Go.
Oh, James O'Connor. I think he's been controlling things really well. Nice. He's got some attacking weapons inside and outside. Also, I'm liking how wide and loose Taniela Tupou's playing.
Yeah.
Like, did you see that ball, that little line that he took the ball that wasn't really meant for him.
Yeah.
James O'Connor went to play back inside to one of the outside backs. I think it might be in Jock Campbell. But Taniela just put this like beautiful little line off the back of the ruck. And it ended up being forward, but not because of him, just the ball drifting forward. But just making himself available, giving options to people. He's strong, but I think James O'Connor's going to be man of the match.
I'll go Tate McDermott. I think he's been classy.
I'll go Wilson, just so I can say, Wilson!
Just quickly on Tate McDermott, how good was that running down Tavita Kounrani?
And the tackle before?
How embarrassed you are if you're Tavita, we've all been there. Like, we've all been there where you bumble it or something. Bobble it,
And he sort of, and he kind of gave it the fake. Scored it.
Sorry, K-Train.
Should be a great game on the weekend. Not a great show, guys.
Yeah,
Sean Loney.
Rapper.
I thought he was a bit rusty, but maybe he's nervous because he's in his own backyard.
Just getting lost around.
Yeah, exactly.
Good spot, good areas. Thanks for coming down to Manly.
Guys, thank you very much. Drew Mitchell, thank you to you as well. Thanks for your company. Check it all out on Rugby Pass. We're a podcast as well, so make sure you go to all the places that you get all the good podcasts from. Subscribe, check it out, and we'll see you next time.
That's it. Don't forget to subscribe to stay on top of the show with new episodes dropping each week. And remember, if moving pictures are more your thing, you can catch the show at rugbypass.com or via the Aussie Rugby Show on YouTube. Like, follow, subscribe, tell your friends, your uncle, you know the drill. See you next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Marc Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Marc.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.